You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
No gap, no gap, no gap, no gap, no gap.
Damn it, Tyler, I was ready to go.
You left a gap. Start over.
No, don't start over.
Go.
Keep going. Salvage it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the crime weaver, Tyler.
Earlier today, you mentioned lobbying efforts for my title.
Yeah.
I would like it to become more complicated, please.
Okay.
So I'm introducing this segment.
What do I have to do? I've never lobbied.
I mean, you were interested in it. You asked me if I am taking, what was it, recommendations or something.
Yeah.
You were invested in one of the possibilities.
Well, I wanted to campaign for one of the options.
Please.
Do I pay you?
I've paid you in jelly beans.
You can. It's not a bad idea.
I have used jelly beans for my lobbying. I don't know how any of this works. I gave you jelly beans. Be that Arne Thompson type. Dwight M. Gordy.
I can very easily provide for your viewing pleasure two mint in box copies of Dragon Ball GT seasons 1 and 2.
GT, you say? Very tempting. I don't remember what either of you wanted, so tell me.
I gotta go to Twitter. I forgot what I wanted.
Nope, scrapping it. Too long.
Hold on.
I can get it from
I've decided.
I can get it from our texts.
I've decided. I'm Gordy, the third host of What the Folklore to introduce himself.
Damn it, that's not the one I gave you jelly beans for.
Mr. McAnulty, back at it.
I mean, it's a good one.
Back on the scene.
That's really solid.
Those club bangers.
Yeah, campaigning closed.
All right, because
election over.
Please have your opening remarks ready to go as soon as I hit the record button.
We'll get them next time, Tyler.
Okay. I mean, one of us won.
One of you did win.
And it sounds like you didn't, so I guess I did.
I genuinely don't remember who wanted what, but the decision has been made. That's us. Proceed. All right.
So,
the floor is yours.
We're still under the thrall of our listeners.
Objection.
What?
Overruled.
Watch
yourself, counselor.
Proceed.
Okay.
The prosecution rests.
All right. Today, Rebecca Kirk is throwing us back into France.
No.
Is she new?
Rebecca Kirk,
are you new here? Do we need to talk about France?
Rebecca, France?
You new on the scene? Forgive it the once.
Why'd you do this?
I think Rebecca's done a story suggestion before. If we've got internet back, I can...
I tried to give you an out, but...
Was it also
Carmen
France?
Just threw you under the bus.
I'll go check.
Carmen's your friend this week.
And Tyler's friendship assignment game.
Mm-hmm. Still got Jeremiah in my corner.
And your box with holes in
mm-hmm.
it.
Gordy, you have no one currently.
True.
You might get someone later. We'll see.
In this story? I'll be on the lookout.
Or just of our patrons.
Okay.
Like, I'm doing, like, a dodgeball divvying of people into teams.
Applications open. Friendship.
Yeah, Rebecca Kirk gave us The Princess and the Chest, which was a pretty solid one.
From France.
Okay.
I don't think that one was from France.
Okay, Rebecca Kirk. We'll see how this French one goes.
It's not a Dolnois, because we have rules.
Good.
Yeah.
Those have been suggested to us, but we are skipping over all Dolnois suggestions, except for our anniversary episodes.
Hey, all these words we're saying, if you're new, Carmen's going to read a weird fairy tale to me and Tyler
mm-hmm.
that we have never heard before, and we're going to just kind of tackle the plot holes and address any of the story problems and see if we can fix it and make it good. So that's what we're doing. We're deciding.
Right. So this one is... From Marie Jean Le Héritier de Villandon, and I butchered that.
Sounded
sorry, France.
Very French.
Sorry, France. It's a lot of names. I believe this woman is the niece of Charles Perrault, but I can now double check that because we've got internet again.
Charles Perrault, you say?
Yeah, that guy who's real important to fairy tales.
The pilot? No, it's Charles de Gaulle.
Yeah. No, this was like the one who made up a lot of those classic tales,
mm-hmm.
like Beauty and the Beast.
Did he make up Dolnois?
Yeah, he invented Dolnois. Yeah,
how deep does the rabbit hole go?
She lived from 1664 to 1734. She was an aristocratic French writer and salonnier of the late 17th century, whatever that means.
Sounding painfully familiar.
And she is a niece of Charles Perrault. So she published three fairy tales early in her career. She published her first tale a year before her uncle, so she beat him to the punch.
Was it this one?
They don't have them in chronological order.
Then, yes.
On this Wikipedia page.
I will say definitively.
This one...
This is the one that beat Perot to market.
This tale is called The Subtle Princess.
The Subtle Princess.
Yes. And it is sourced from Wonder Tales, edited by Marina Warner. So that is the translation we're working with. You can catch most of it on Google Books for free. And then you can catch the ending of it by getting a free library card to the Internet Archives and borrowing the book for 14 days, which is what I ended up having to do.
To complete this sort of tale.
This is a long one. This is going to be probably at least a two-parter for us to get through it, because French aristocracy does not shut up.
Well, I can tell you that part one has an executive producer.
Okay.
We'll see about the other parts. But at least this one is brought to you all by our very good friend. Everybody gets to be friends with April, I've decided.
Okay, well, there I go.
Yeah, you got April in your corner.
I kind of want one of my own.
Well, you'll get there.
Because you got the frog.
Yeah.
Jeremiah. The bullfrog. What'd you get?
The frog king.
I have Rebecca Kirk, my ally in French torture for you, too.
I didn't realize you could just claim people like that.
It's a new feature.
Well, Gordy, we can't claim people like that. Tyler can claim them for us. It's part of his crime. Is the human trafficking?
The weaving has extended to pretend trafficking.
Pretend friend trafficking.
Also, April is Arne Thompson type 1345.
Good year for the Black Plague, I think.
Which is stories dependent on puns.
Because we really appreciate that good donkey name that you have for your D&D donkey.
It's a secret that only patrons get to know.
Ooh.
If you want to know April's donkey's name, you got to give us $1 every month. And then hop in the Discord.
And then scroll up through the history.
If you join and ask, I'll just tell you. you can tag me and be like, hey, what's the donkey's name? I'll tell you what it is.
At everyone, what is the donkey's name?
That's our price. $1. All right.
You want to know what happened in the year 1345?
Please. Anything donkey related?
Probably.
Let's sew these threads together.
Probably a lot of donkeys happened
into
in the year
a beautiful
1345.
Sweater.
The Black Death swept across Europe.
Donkeys.
How many donkeys died?
Donkeys bit it.
A lot.
Great.
Final tally. Whole bunch. Actually.
A bushel.
Might have made that up. Not sure. Anyway, read me this story.
The Subtle Princess. In the time of the First Crusades, there was a certain king, and as to where his kingdom lay, I do not know that any more than it's somewhere in Europe, says the story.
Gordy, how many possibilities are there?
I got 8 off the top of my head.
Okay, let's pick one.
Okay, I'm going to go, it's probably the...
Well, first give us the possibilities, and then we'll listen for more details, and
guys,
then decide.
You know how long this story is? We do not have time for Gordy to remember Europe.
Okay, it's this,
the first.
It's
the
European Crusade.
It's the secret king of Austria.
Okay.
This king resolved to make war against the infidels in Palestine.
Sounds about right.
Oh no. Let's just quick little asterisk right there. Do we have to do the, yeah, it's a historical thing. We're not calling anybody infidels.
Nah, we think the Crusades were stupid.
I mean, they're interesting.
Yeah, but like conceptually stupid.
Continue.
He put the affairs of his kingdom in order and got his coolest, most able minister to be the regent in his stead while he went out and like waged war against people who were not bothering him at all.
What does the coolest minister look like?
He's just a chill dude.
Just Birkenstocks?
Birkenstocks, tie-dye t-shirt.
Hemp sweater.
Beige overalls.
Beige overalls. Why?
He's got socks on, too.
No, he's...
Tan. Tan overalls.
He's rapidly getting uncool.
Are those not cool things that you can wear?
Socks and Birkenstocks?
Yeah.
What are you, a fucking tourist at the beach?
Tie-dye...
And overalls tourist?
And overalls
tourist. Tie-dye t-shirt, long hair, soul patch.
You're getting closer.
Really?
Getting cooler.
Those
getting cooler by the minute. Soul patch really sold
now,
me.
Now, did you mean cooler like Fonzie cool, or did you mean cool as in what is going to happen to a woman's nethers when she approaches?
It's like an air conditioning system walking down the beach in his overalls.
Or a man's nethers. Or anybody's nethers.
Everybody's going to Chili Town.
He just walks back past and a chill howls through the air behind him.
And his name is Neville.
Neville, the coolest minister.
Unless you gave him a name.
He doesn't show up ever again.
His name is Neville.
So the king felt pretty good about things. His one concern was the welfare of his family. The queen had already died, so he didn't have to worry about her. But
good sitch to find yourself in.
She had left him with three...
Small miracles, am I right?
Three
silver linings.
Princesses of marriageable age.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Rate them on their subtlety.
My knowledge of the family doesn't extend to the princesses' true names, but it was a custom among ordinary folk in these honest and uncomplicated times to refer to eminent persons by nicknames about their qualities.
I don't like the tone of this storyteller.
Yeah, it gets worse, I guess.
Like, you don't know anything about these people.
Yeah, just make it up.
You
That's
haven't told me
thing.
Anything. You don't know where they're from. You don't know what they're called. Why do I care about them?
All right, so the ordinary folk had nicknamed these princesses, and those are the names we have. The eldest had been nicknamed Lackadaisy. The middle child had been nicknamed Loquacia. And the last one had been nicknamed...
Clyde.
Vanessa.
So none of them are subtle.
Right. All of these names are very witty commentary on the characters of these princesses.
How?
Lackadaisy is super lazy. She wakes up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to be
nice.
Dragged off to church in the same condition that she was dragged out of bed, her hair all disheveled, her gown loose, no girdle, and mismatched slippers.
You said this story was pretty short, right?
I said the opposite.
We got
that.
Time to just like ruminate on the etymology of lackadaisy.
Sure.
What's going on with that word? I've never really thought about it before.
Lackadaisy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Lackadaisical?
Why are they doing wars again?
Why do you lackadaisy, and why does that make you lazy?
It's a good rhyming.
I mean, it's a longer word than lazy, but it still rhymes with it. This is good content.
Lackadaisical, adjective,
no.
Sentimentally woebegone.
Woebegone? Look that one up next.
Lackadaisical, from the introduction, lackadaisy, alas, alack, 1748, a ludicrous alteration of lackaday, an exclamation of sorrow or regret, or from alack the day, hence given to crying, lackaday, vapidly sentimental.
So not a lot of overlap with lazy.
No, but I guess eventually just kind of...
Became?
Yeah. Even when lackadaisy was put together, no one could convince her to wear things other than any of the slippers that she had because she found shoes to be too restricting. Like, I get you, lackadaisy.
Yeah, open-toed shoes.
She's a jammies kind of princess.
Birkenstocks? Are those open-toed?
Yeah,
they're sandals.
Yeah, but like always?
I think so.
Or is there like different kinds?
I'm pretty sure they're always sandals.
Like there are open-toed Crocs and not open-toed Crocs.
Yeah, but those are Crocs.
Is it that situation?
Is it still a sandal if the toes aren't out?
I don't know. Ask Jesus. He's a known sandal wearer. He'd know.
I'm going to call her Jammies.
Yeah, Lackadaisy the Jammies Princess. After she would dine, she would sit down at her dressing table, hang out there all evening, and then she would play and eat till midnight, and she could never be persuaded to go to bed until it was broad daylight outside. So she's just a night owl that no one understands.
Yeah, I think she just has a particular sleep schedule.
I relate to this character a lot.
I do too.
Yeah, I get it. There are closed-toed Birkenstocks.
What?
There are. I'm looking at one right now.
Show me.
That.
What?
That right there.
That's not...
I know this is an audio medium, but I'm looking at a closed-toed Birkenstock. There's a bunch of them.
Unprecedented.
It's not important, but I just wanted to prove a point. Continue. What happened next? She sleeps.
She's eating and just playing games all night.
She works the night shift. She's working on her audio-only
Into
the Breach
podcast. She's playing video games in her pajamas
right.
all night.
And by working the night shift, you mean like she's on World of Warcraft until the sun is up.
She's on that Final Fantasy 14 grind all the time. She and her guild.
So that's the eldest. The middle child was Loquacia. Unlike Lackadaisy, she was very brisk and active. She had a frantic itch to talk and did not shut up during all of her waking hours.
Is that what loquacious means?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking all the time. She was a mouth without a head. She knew all the gossip of both the courts and the commonest of commoners down to the most trivial details of their life and would share it with everybody. She believed that people who are not capable of keeping their own secrets shouldn't expect you to keep theirs either, so she would just keep spreading it like an STD. otherwise, she lived completely idly. She didn't do an iota of work. She just talked.
So, like, princess shit. Like, you don't have to tell me that princesses don't do anything in this kingdom. I probably could have guessed that one.
Well, the youngest is the best, mm-hmm. and our narrator comments, reader, it is ever thus. So apparently she understands this is a trend. I don't know if she's the youngest child.
The narrator?
Yeah, the author. So Vanessa was never idle. She danced and she sang and she played music perfectly. She was really good at all those fine girly chores and spoke with the measured caution of a pro chess player.
Man, it's almost like they don't need those other two daughters and should just get rid of them.
She was also, like, really smart, and she was able to do things like discover a trap in a treaty that was about to be signed and, like, be like, hey, Dad, some loopholes here aren't going to work out with you. And so rewrote the treaty so that it trapped the people who tried to trick them in turn. So
she's just a manic pixie dream general.
Yeah, she's real good at policy.
She does cartwheels and plays ukulele, and then she comes and does...
She's quirky.
...fucking diplomacy meetings for you, King Dad.
She's quirky with a law degree. Maybe, has that been explored yet?
Legally Blonde.
Like she's quirky, but also very professional.
I mean, that's like the whole premise of the movie, isn't it?
Legally Blonde?
Yeah.
But she's... Okay. I don't know.
Well,
I haven't seen it.
Now, the premise of the movie is... Haha, this dumb girl's actually good at stuff.
I have seen the musical. Like,
you have seen the musical?
Not the movie, it's just the musical.
Top of her class and all that, and just happened to like pink and sororities.
Mm-hmm. Who's the one in that one?
Witherspoon?
Of course.
So, in addition to fixing this treaty, she had also at some point turned a minister's villainy around to bite him in the ass, and was generally so subtly intelligent that she earned the nickname Vanessa.
Is that the word of the day?
Yes.
None of them are subtle, or whatever the word is.
She's subtle. She subtly turned a treaty around.
What's this title again?
The Subtle Princess.
Yeah, so none of them... I mean, she's not named that.
No, she's named Vanessa.
But
Tyler's not named the Crime Weaver.
Is it Vanessa or Finessa?
Finessa.
Okay, I get it now. Like, I thought you said Vanessa, and Finesse. I was like, that's not even a bun on anything.
Yeah, Val.
Yeah. Vanessa, I understand.
Yeah, so the king loved her way more than the other two layabouts he had.
Wonder why.
So he felt pretty confident about leaving her behind and mistrusted the elder daughter's ability to kind of like...
Exist?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Keep going. So it's time to call on his fairy friend and tell her about his bum daughters and how he doesn't want to treat Vanessa differently because like it's kind of bad form to show how obviously you favor one child over the others.
It's never stopped anybody.
Certainly not a king.
So he's come up with this scheme, and he wants this fairy to make 3 glass bobbins that will break if the daughter who owns it does anything to betray her honor.
And his goal is to do what with them?
Yeah, what is the end game?
Like, does he want them dead or gone?
He just wants to make sure that they behave themselves while he's off waging war.
Or else...
Is he not, like, he's setting them up to fail, 2 of them.
Not necessarily. He's just
it sounds
keeping
like
an
it.
Eye on things.
It sounds like it.
So the fairy makes the bobbins for him, and the king decides he's going to be extra cautious to try and keep them in line. He's just worried that without him there, their idleness will lead to indecency.
Correct.
So he leads the princesses off to a tower and tells them not to let anyone in there at all while he's gone. Then he gives them each a bobbin and warns them what it does, so he, like, tells them... Yeah, if you fuck up, I'll know. Keep it in your pants. Then he locks him in the tower.
These are the rules of Peekaboo Tower.
Locks them in the tower and leaves for his crusades.
Does he own a punzel?
He's got 3 punzels now.
Is there another way out?
I mean, they can leave, theoretically. The narrator wants you to be assured that these princesses are not going to starve. Don't worry. They did think about this, and there's a pulley fixed to the tower window to pull food up in the basket.
So they
day.
Have an exit.
Yeah, they've got a window and a basket.
And a rope to climb down.
So Lackadaisy and Loquacia are despairing about their loneliness.
One probably more verbosely than the other.
but Vanessa is super cool with it and keeps herself amused with her weaving and sewing and music making Plus, the king had ordered informative documents to be provided with the basket food, but only Vanessa gave a shit about the news, so she's reading this over.
What documents is he sending up?
Give me the pape.
I do not know.
Like war reports?
Maybe.
Treaties?
Probably. Like, hey, check these over before my minister signs
or
them.
Or just like the daily news?
Yeah, I think it's just like politics.
I think there's any like good web comics in there or anything?
I mean, the other ones...
Well, not web comics. There might be some cartoons.
The other ones are the ones that are tearing into like... I just lost every newspaper comic I've ever known about.
Garfield.
For better or worse.
Get Fuzzy.
Get Fuzzy.
The what are you trying to think of?
Boondocks.
Anything funny?
Calvin and Hobbes.
Couldn't come up with one.
In the papers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's slim pickings these days.
Nancy, is that one?
Pearls Before Swine.
Is that like the angry woman?
I mean, it's the depressing woman.
Oh, the depressing woman.
It's the woman made of chocolate.
That's right.
You ever read Pluggers?
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Sure is.
It's very one note. It's all like right. A 10-year grievance I've finally gotten off my chest.
How do you feel?
not that different.
Do we need to bask in this moment?
It wasn't weighing on me that much.
Should you label maker it?
That Pluggers is a bad comic strip.
Yes.
And really not that original.
I don't often discourage the label maker, but please don't put fuck Pluggers on my coffee table.
Okay, I'll pass it this time. I'll put it somewhere else.
So the oldest sisters are passing their time with bitching about their situation, looking out the tower windows, and just generally moping around. And one day, while Vanessa was making some awesome needlework with her super rad skills, they happened to see a poor woman complaining at them from below the tower.
I'm going to wait and see what she says.
Somebody's shopping for Rapunzel.
She calls up to them and asks them to let her in the tower because she is possessed of many super practical skills and just wants some work.
The poor woman?
Yeah, the poor woman below them.
Okay.
They don't even have a for hire sign, though.
They do remember their father. Well, you don't know until you ask.
I mean, typically it's advertised in some way.
Sometimes, but you can still go into a store and be like...
You never got out and hit the pavement to find a job?
I've never shouted at somebody from, like, the window below them for a job.
If you have just graduated and you're having trouble finding a job...
Brick through the window.
Give it a try. Yeah. Tie your resume around a brick, throw it through their window.
glass services.
So they do remember their father's warning not to let anyone in the tower, but Lackadaisy is sick of waiting on herself, and Loquacia is sick of no sweet fresh gossip.
She just needs somebody to talk to.
Yeah, like her sisters will do for a little while, but they're not up to anything.
They're into different stuff.
So Loquacia asks Lackadaisy if she thinks the king order would really apply to this wretched woman. I forgot about this part. Fifther, answered Lackadaisy, who had a lisp.
What?
She just has a lisp.
But what kind of lisp was that?
Fifther.
Can you spell that for me?
F-I-F-T-E-R.
Fifther.
Is that...
Fifther.
Now, did you invent this?
No, that
is... Is that how it's spelled in the story?
That is how it's spelled in the story. This is some extra character flavor that the story throws in this one time and never again.
How does that even manifest? Does she have unteeth?
Fifter?
Fifter.
Fifter.
I don't think that
you
is your standard.
You must do as you
pref.
Stop talking.
She does.
Good.
For the rest of the story.
Good.
The lisp never shows up again. Loquacia pulled the woman up in the basket, and her putrid clothes turned their stomachs, but she promised to change them that evening and take care of things in the meantime.
Yeah.
Vanessa comes in and is startled by the new person. They explain their reason.
From where?
Another room where she was sewing things.
It's a whole tower.
Yeah, it's not a one-room tower situation. They got their own spaces. Their king didn't just lock them in a kennel.
This sounds great.
I mean, typically that's what they do.
It doesn't sound like a bad deal if you can get stuff to do.
Yeah, you and your sisters are going to the puppy hotel.
It's like our three-bedroom apartment is essentially what they're in.
But tall.
Yeah.
But tall, and they can't leave. They can't go to QT to get food.
They have to throw a rope to QT.
That sounds way better though.
Than what
I could
do.
If I could throw a rope out the window and I knew that like the things
she
I would
be there.
That I was seeking would be in the bucket when I pulled it back up, I will take that deal.
Some taquito action, please. Yeah. If the rules of that are don't let anyone into this house, sure.
Yeah, done.
Don't leave. Don't let anyone
done.
In.
You don't
put food in a basket.
You don't have to let people
want.
In to bother you, and people will just give you stuff.
I will gladly live where the air is thin for basket food.
Is this a sticking point for you? Is thin air?
I mean, it's a weird deal to take. I mean, I guess it's the premise behind the penthouse, but like I want to go way up and have everyone else do stuff for me.
Yeah.
What kind of lodgings do you have for me?
I don't
me?
Think the thinness of the air factors in that much.
No?
Yeah, no, that sounds like a sweet deal.
Yeah, it does. It
depends on the tallness of the tower, I suppose.
The taller, the better.
The further away from the people screaming in our bushes
I
at
I
want
to be able to see the non-curvature of the earth. Research flat earth.
I want to build up and subsist on basket food until I solve this fucking riddle. What is our planet shaped?
Anyway, they explain their reasoning, which is not good reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still pissed at them.
Their reasoning is we didn't think it applied to her.
Yeah.
Basically, like this
also,
one doesn't count.
Yeah. And also we're sick of the loneliness and not
okay.
having to take care
so
of all shit.
So we wanted to. This one doesn't count.
We decided to mulligan.
Yeah.
Right. This is our one freebie.
So the new servant is wandering around the tower on the pretense of doing chores, but really to observe how everything was laid out, because...
Spy.
Actually, she is a dangerous intruder.
Yeah, that's a very forward way to case a joint, is to invite yourself in and just take notes.
All right, do you guys want to, like, make a guess as to what this dangerous intruder is?
She's a fairy.
Okay, Gordy?
What?
You want to make a guess as to who this dangerous intruder is?
Can I change my guess?
Yeah.
Muscle witch.
Okay.
You're saying muscle witch. You did say fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I think she is?
One of them is wishful thinking.
I think she's trying to replace one of these daughters.
A daughter
changeling
situation.
Yeah. She's trying to take over one of their lives.
She is none other than the son, indeed the young son, of a powerful king next door.
I'm noticing a mismatch of pronouns.
She's the son of a king next door.
Yeah, in disguise as a wretched woman.
In disguise as a putrid woman.
Yeah, putrid, wretched woman. He was one of the craftiest and most underhanded persons of his time. His own father was under his sway, which wasn't tough to do because his dad is so even-tempered that they call him the Lamb.
Is he handsome?
Yeah.
Not like this, he's not, but...
But typically.
Typically, yeah.
I'm going to call bullshit on craftiness then, because if your plan is to say, like, I, this handsome young gentleman, will disguise myself as a stinky old woman, and then they'll let me in.
Well, they won't be able to justify letting a man in.
Yes, they will, with their nether parts.
But their nether parts are tethered to a glass bobbin.
What?
Magically.
Magically tethered?
Yeah, they've been given a glass bobbin, and if they betray their honor, it will break.
Okay, please continue with his plan, because I still don't understand the craftiness of being a stinky witch.
For what purpose again?
To get into the tower.
Why?
That's what we're getting to.
Yeah, we're getting there. But he was a putrid lady, so that they would not suspect anything and let him into the tower. His name is Richencraft, or Richcraft for short.
Wow. This is not this is not a subtle story.
I thought you guys might be tickled by Richcraft as a name.
That's when you're too lazy to do spells. It's pay to win magic.
you just bought all the Hearthstone cards.
As a side note, he also happens to have a younger brother as virtuous as he is flawed, and between the two was a strong sibling affection that no one could understand, because as nasty and underhanded as he is, the younger is so good and hot and kind that everyone calls him Bellevoir, or beauteous to behold.
Everyone calls him Little Dick No Monies.
No, they call him hot to look at.
Like Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci.
So Richcraft was also the fellow behind the stupid treaty that Vanessa had spoiled earlier.
Oh.
So that's his beef.
Yeah.
He's got treaty beef.
So he was full of loathing for her father for turning the treaty so deftly against them. And so he has decided to do this whole scheme as a result of that.
Still don't know what he's after.
So he's going to just stick to his disguise for now so they can't just yell for help and wait until nightfall.
Uh-huh.
When no one else is around.
Yep.
So after
and then
after supper, he casts off his rags with a flourish to reveal himself as a rich young knight, which alarmed the princesses.
Just underneath the rags.
Yeah.
Who is this bulky, stinky old lady?
Wait,
who's
what?
Shaped like armor?
Like full plate?
He's just a knight. I don't know how much plate he's wearing.
All plate.
Sure.
Full plate armor.
Finessa and Loquacia were nimble enough to run to their chambers.
Okay.
But Lackadaisy has never been in the habit of moving quickly.
Taking that movement speed penalty.
Like no matter what, apparently. No flight or flight in this one.
No, she's a fainting goat. She just kind of drops where she is, hopes for the best.
So she was overtaken by him.
That sounds so weird.
He threw himself at her feet and declared his name and that the reputation of her beauty had brought him there.
It is I, Richencraft!
What did he say? Did he, like, threaten them?
No. He's just,
why did they run?
Because it's a man.
It's a man in full plate armor.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Their did dad he, like, said, don't do the D.
Okay, so they're running because they're afraid...
Their honor will be besmirched.
Right, okay.
Gordy, I want to give you a hypothetical. And I want you to answer as truthfully as possible.
I'll do my best.
If at this moment... Cricket did that exact thing. What would your response be?
if she took off her fluff?
Yeah, and it was a
fully armored knight underneath.
Man, I think I'd feel a little bad
in very flashy armor.
I think I'd feel really bad for treating him like a cat.
For all the times you chased him with a spider stuffed animal and made him a helicopter to a location.
Spun him around like a helicopter.
Yeah.
While making the brrrr noises.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, that must have been very bad for you. I'm sorry. It's fine if it's a cat, though.
Sure. So the reputation of her beauty had brought him here in this disguise to try and meet her, and so she's at a loss for words. He keeps showering her with endearments and begs her to take him for her husband, and she remembers an old proverb of the kingdom that says, well, there's no use locking the bedroom door if the thief is already under the bed, and tells him in a nonchalant manner that she believed him to be sincere in his intent and would accept his vows.
That's a bad proverb.
Yep. Well, it was probably not intended for this situation.
But in any situation, you could run to the other side of the door and lock
it. These are the only marriage formalities she saw fit to observe.
Which ones?
Yeah, sure.
Marriage formalities?
That's not formal.
Nope. So to her surprise, she lost her bobbin.
When she said, yeah, sure?
No, when they...
Oh, when they did it.
Yeah.
When she said, yeah, sure, but downstairs.
Yeah. So Loquacia and Finessa...
The bobbin?
Yeah.
What happened?
It exploded.
Okay.
Where?
So it did physically, like, change. Like, it didn't just disappear?
Yeah, no, your bobbin breaks if you... betray your honor in this situation.
Got it.
Bobbin?
Yeah.
How does this contraption work?
It's a fairy magic.
So it's just magic.
Yeah, they have it.
It's a fairy magic TM.
It's not set up. It's not like a system of levers and
no.
It's pulleys
not, it's
and
not
stuff
that sets
it off.
Physically attached to her in any way. It's just a trinket she's been given. It's made out of glass and it will break if she betrays her honor, which she has done, and so
it's
broken.
It's like a little light bulb that's a metaphor for fuck.
Right, but it is it's just pure magic.
It blows up when you done do it.
Sort of.
But magically.
It's the physical representation of virginity.
Yeah.
We probably can't use a metaphor for fuck as a title, right?
probably shouldn't. I mean, we are labeled explicit for reasons.
Yeah, but that's if people actually listen to it, not if they just scroll past it.
Yeah. Loquacia and Finessa are locked in their separate apartments, feeling profoundly uneasy, but otherwise unaware of what's happened. The next morning, after they'd spent the night together, Richcraft takes Lackadaisy down into an apartment on the ground floor at the end of a garden, and she drops artificial tears in her eyes because she is too lazy to shed real ones.
What does that even mean?
Seems like more work and not a detail that we need.
Yeah, it's just like trying to drive home how lazy she is. Too lazy to cry real tears, so she has drops for it. She tells him she didn't want to see her sisters because she was afraid they would take her to task for this marriage.
Yep.
Marriage?
The prince assured her that he was going to go make them approve of it, and he'll like talk them around.
Mm-hmm.
And then put her in the apartment, and without her noticing, locks her in.
Okay.
What?
He locks her in this apartment.
Across from the tower?
Yeah.
Is it his?
No, it's just a place in the garden that's just there for reasons, specifically this one.
This is to bone down?
No, this is after they've boned down in her room.
They don't want to do it more private?
He's just locking her somewhere else. So then he goes back to the tower for the other two.
Okay.
So he's having some trouble finding the other chambers, but Loquacia starts talking to herself.
Like, dead giveaway.
From the moment she gets up in the morning, she just talks to herself. So he is able to locate her and spies on her through her keyhole. He starts whispering the same flatteries through her keyhole that he'd done at Lackadaisy.
What is the face that you're making? Because did we hear the same thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
You said flatteries. I definitely heard flat earth theories. And Gordy made a face that led me to believe that he was going down a similar road.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're up there in the first place to research flat earth, so that does make sense.
Right, and the flat earth theories would woo Gordy.
Building a tower up is like a very slow rocket ship.
It's my favorite haiku.
I think it's a proverb. I think that would be a proverb.
It's a limerick.
There are rules for limericks and haikus.
Yeah, they have to have fuck in them, and this tower did.
They have to have one.
All right, so Loquacia had never before met anyone who echoed her own high opinion of her charms at her. And so she was very willing to believe him and answered him in a manner that would not have pleased her father.
Sexily.
Ew.
Is she the one with the lisp?
No.
That's the one that we're done with?
Vanessa. Yeah. That's fake tears, Lackadaisy.
Wait, what? I thought that was Vanessa.
Vanessa doesn't have a lisp. Vanessa's perfect in every way.
Yeah.
Lackadaisy's too lazy to...
Marry who?
To cry real tears. Or, I don't know. I don't know why she has a lisp. It's an unnecessary character trait.
World building.
It's not, though. It's just being mean.
Yeah, basically.
To people with lisps and to Lackadaisy for different reasons. Loquacia's also feeling pretty faint because she's been chattering away to herself ever since she woke up.
And
she's
not eating.
She's not eaten all day, and she did not have the foresight to stock some room snacks. Generally...
No moon pies.
Right. Generally, if she was hungry throughout the day and the basket hadn't come, she would just go to Vanessa because Vanessa was industrious and provident. So as a result of her industry and providence, always had biscuits, pies, macaroons, sweetmeats, and savories in her room that she had made and stocked away.
Just forethinking in her rations.
Just basically a baking squirrel.
A baking squirrel?
Yeah, she's making stuff and stashing it. And then... Then her bum sisters are wandering in like, snacks, please.
We got time for another tangent, right?
Sure, yeah.
The Keebler elves. Huh? Why aren't they squirrels?
I think it would have been simpler for them to just be squirrels.
Something that already lives in a tree. And not some made up shit.
And hoards things.
I don't know. Maybe they wanted to convey like a world of imagination and whimsy.
Maybe you can start.
And to do so, they stole the Smurfs and made them cookie shills.
They made the it turned the Smurfs into corporate whores.
Yeah, a thing that the Smurfs definitely weren't already.
Why don't you set up your own like adversary baking company? That's the Squirrels. The Kibler Squirrels.
The Kibler Squirrels.
The Kibler Squirrel Better Cookie Company. Fuck Keebler is the tagline.
We got the True Tree Cookies.
Okay.
Trying to work Cloud Atlas into that.
True Tree?
Yeah, it's not quite coming.
Don't go to old Georgie in the Keebler Tree. Come to the True Tree.
That's not good.
It is not. So she's almost swooning with hunger and opens the door at last to find the young prince just sitting there. And he, a born seducer, wasted no time pressing home his advantage.
Because she's hungry?
I mean, that's just part of it. He has already flattered her into, like, accepting.
Right, and she's delirious with hunger also.
Right. So when they both leave her room and go to the pantry to eat, and Lucretia is still a little anxious about what happened to her sisters, but she figures that they've locked themselves both in Finesse's chamber and therefore would want for nothing because her squirrel sister would provide. Richcraft reinforces this belief and promises to look for them later that evening, but Lucretia says, no, let's go, like, as soon as we finish eating. I want to settle my mind on this.
Yeah.
Then after they stuff themselves, Richcraft asks her if she can show him the finest apartment in the castle. And he gives his hand to the princess to take him there. So he's still being, like, a schmoozy charmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once inside, he exaggerates his tender passions and asks her to be his husband. And after wearing her down with entreaties, she accepts. When they go back to her chamber with the prince, her bobbin is shattered.
Dad's gonna be upset.
Yep.
Is he? I feel like this is the outcome that he expected.
I mean,
two down, get to keep the good one.
Yeah, so, he can safely disown the two bad ones.
Yeah.
So she sees that her bobbin is shattered. She's very troubled by this, and because she can't shut up about a damn thing, she tells the prince all about the bobbins and what they mean. And the prince gloats to himself because now he knows that their dad will know what happened. And this has all been for vengeance against him, so, like, bonus points for him.
I did gooder than I thought I did.
Lucretia is, of course, no longer eager to see her sisters because she is ashamed of her actions. So he offered to look for them himself, and as she falls asleep, he locks her in her chamber.
Okay, so just, like, back where he found her?
Yeah.
Okay.
You stay here now.
And that's the end of her story.
Is the other one still in the other apartment?
Yeah, Finesse's still hiding out in her room with all of her good snacks.
Finesse.
Yeah.
Who's in? But who's, no, like, across the street?
Lackadaisy's being chewed on by rats right now.
Lackadaisy's locked in the apartment across the way.
But Lucretia gets to stay.
In her own chamber, yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Is there a point to this?
No. Nope.
No? Okay. I was hoping maybe he's got a plan, but okay.
His plan is lock them in.
What would have instilled that confidence in you?
It's just a vain hope he's
doing his plan. It's to get some sweet action.
So he gets mad about it because he didn't treat you good.
He didn't treat you bad, so he had to bang his daughters.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, well thought out vengeance plan. Also,
it's
I guess
a start,
he's horny.
I guess. Two birds with one stone.
Isn't it true, reader, that Richcraft is such a great blackguard? You want to boo the very page on which his name is imprinted?
It's a bad name. That's what sticks out to me most about Richcraft.
That's the part you hate about him?
That's the bit you're going to boo. It's not his actions.
Richcraft. It sounds like you're either saying witchcraft wrong or he's some kind of jeweler.
And isn't it also true that our elder princesses with feet of human clay are such ninnies that you can scarcely contain your irritation and perhaps are on the verge of throwing this book away in disgust?
Yeah, that one. Throw the book away. Let's do something else.
This is a weird
intermission.
path for an author to take. Like, these people I've invented for you. Like, do you loathe them? Like,
don't they suck? Don't you want to stop reading? Yeah, kinda.
Do you hate them as much as I do?
Don't though. Don't stop. Don't throw the book away.
These voices in my head who have tormented me and now they will you?
And don't worry, no one triumphs save the wise and courageous Finesse.
Yeah, we know.
Got it.
You're not fooling anybody.
I think that's a good spot to stop part one.
What a great twist.
Of the subtle princess.
The hero wins.
So, discussion thus far.
For a story called The Subtle Princess, it is not a subtle story.
No, it is a very heavy-handed, slut-shaming kind of bullshit tale.
Yes.
Yeah, why? I guess we'll get to that.
Like, the only negative qualities of these princesses are that they don't weave and stuff.
And they do what they're told.
Well, they don't really do that, but they were told to do one thing and they didn't do that.
but they were told to do a different thing, and now they're in trouble for it.
What?
Witchcraft told them to do things, and now they're in trouble.
Oh, well, yeah. They didn't respect their dad enough.
Yes.
And in disrespecting their dad, they didn't respect themselves because, you know, they're not their own people.
Right.
They belong to them.
Yeah, they have, like, they're portrayed as not really having a lot of
agency.
Like, either, yeah, they're beholden to somebody.
On either end of this.
And how could you not respect your dad who put you in a tower because he wanted to do war?
He just kind of didn't want to think about you. Yeah. Why would you not respect this man?
What is there to not respect about this fucking towering achievement of a human king?
This paragon of our species.
Yeah, like Lackadaisy just, like, she doesn't care about her appearance that much, which is fine. And she's a night owl. Which is also fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Loquacia likes to talk. And that is, I mean, gossiping and telling other people's secrets is definitely kind of a no-no.
Telling other people's secrets is a no-no. Letting them know you're going to ahead of time so that they don't tell you secrets is pretty good.
Yeah, like everyone knows what she's about.
Right.
Yeah.
She's very forward with the fact, like, I cannot keep a secret. Do not give me them.
Like, yeah. She's just a gossipy teenage kid.
This is the deal.
And yeah, Lackadaisy's just like a tired teenage
kid.
It's
not like, yeah, they're not bad things to be. They might be, like, irritating in some situations, but that is everybody.
They might grow out of it eventually, but also
they might. Probably not if you lock them in a tower.
No, like, you gotta teach them how to, like, deal with the world. You can't just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, they're born this way and they suck.
That's it. They're done developing as people.
Yeah, I like my daughter who has, like, a creative itch and a drive to learn policy. Like, not everyone's gonna be into that. Like, I don't want to weave.
Right.
And I don't have the kind of mind for politics, but that doesn't mean I'm a waste of human space.
And as great as Vanessa seems, I know at least one thing that's wrong with her.
She's super judgmental.
Well, other than that, even, it's her unsecured communiques with her dad about policy. It's just fucking newspapers sitting in the food basket.
Yeah,
that, like, anyone could take or read.
Next to
you're
an
saying,
apple.
You're saying she should have used her her, like, official state communication channels instead of some kind of private
server.
Mail server she has in her tower.
But her newspapers.
But her newspapers. She'll never be president. She should have gone to Wisconsin. This is not really about that.
Instead of a tower.
Like, yeah, the only moral advantage she has over them is, well, she doesn't have a moral advantage over them. She's just interested in things.
Stuff.
Yeah. And they haven't been interested in things. It's not like her weaving or anything is producing income or changing their lives. Like, they're princesses.
Yeah.
They don't need a job.
And I am aware that this is a factor of, like, just the time period that this comes from, the level of character development and storytelling that we're dealing with. But it's hard to take seriously a character that the author just tells me, like, everything they do is good.
Yeah.
No worries. Hate these other ones because I wrote this one as the good one.
Like, they're not mean to anybody.
No, they're fine.
Because normally when we're set up to hate two characters, the author has the common decency to make them pure assholes.
I don't even, like, I guess they're flaws. I don't know that I would go personally so far as to say that the issues with the other two sisters are flaws. Outside of that, like, I would go with quirk or something.
Right.
Like, they have idiosyncrasies about them.
Like, Lackadaisy's not even sleeping all the time. She's up till dawn.
She just keeps a different schedule from everyone else.
Right, and if you're forcing her out of bed to go to church, then yeah, she's not going to be put together. And you know what? Shoes suck. If you're inside all the time, you do not need them.
Jammies for Ev.
I mean, she'll wear nice dresses and things. She just doesn't want to wear
shoes.
She just wants to wear slippers.
Jammies and Birkenstocks.
And I get that. I don't want to wear shoes
like
inside.
Like a cool minister.
Yeah.
The best character.
I wish that minister had come back. We put a lot of work into him.
We did develop him quite
like,
extensively.
Like, into his aesthetic. What is he doing, do you think? Just running the country?
Yeah, regent stuff.
You think it's going well?
What do regents do?
I don't know.
Pretend king?
Yeah.
Fake king?
Yeah, they're just fake kings. Just got to keep things going.
So really just let Vanessa do everything.
Just the treaty bits.
He's putting a lot of stuff into that basket for her expertise.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal for a king.
What?
Like, I have a daughter that's going to handle all the policy and treaty stuff.
I can wage war on whoever.
I can just go fight and be king.
I'm gonna
the parts
do,
I like.
Yeah, I'm going to do the fun part of kinging. And I'm going to shut my policy machine up in the tower and just have her crank out treaties and whatever
legislation.
Yeah, whatever needs to... Did they have legislation then? When is this from?
1700s.
They had invented laws, yeah.
Medieval France.
Is still lawless. It's pre-Hammurabi's code.
And like Laquatia and Lackadaisy are basically teenage girls who have not been taught anything or exposed to reality.
Wonder anymore. How that happened.
So it doesn't seem like a huge moral failing to me that like this handsome prince knight, who it would be in their marriageable pool,
yeah,
would like it doesn't seem unreasonable that they would be like, yeah, this sounds good.
Rich and Craft, truly a blackguard. Agreed.
Yeah, no, he's an ass.
Can we talk about Stink Witch?
the Stink Witch plot?
The Stink Witch Gambit. Why still? I don't
Hashtag
know why.
Hashtag Stink Gazi? No, that's not good. I don't have one. Come back to me.
They're not going to let a dude in the tower.
But they're not supposed to let anybody in the tower.
They're not supposed to let anybody in the tower, but they can argue to themselves that that doesn't apply to an old woman. Because they know...
Who smells just so bad.
They know that the reason that they're not supposed to let anyone in the tower is to keep their honor pure.
I would never sleep with this old stinky witch.
Yeah, this stink sack's fine.
Yeah, okay. I see the merits in it.
And if he unveiled, then they would just scream like, a man in our tower. Because they've been taught that that's bad.
They've been taught, that men in the tower is bad.
Yeah, like that was a very clear rule that there's no working around. So if he waits till nightfall when there's no one, like, just hanging out for them to yell.
How?
It's not the best plan.
No, and I still want to tear it apart, and I think I can.
Okay.
How did he get up and down the tower after they had run away from him?
Bucket.
Why didn't he do that in the first place?
Oh, yeah.
Why the stink witch at all?
I don't know. Did he get the key once he was inside?
Because once he got up, he still convinced them to do stuff as a man.
Yeah, they're supposedly locked in a tower, and he can take them out of the tower to go to a garden apartment.
And go to the Roach Motel across the way.
And also to show him the finest chamber in the palace.
Yeah.
Which presumably is not in this tower.
One would think. Unless the tower suddenly and unbeknownst to us is the centerpiece of the kingdom.
Maybe he broke down the door with his big, strong man.
Stinky hands.
Like his big man's like big rich muscles.
That's, yeah, sure.
Because I don't know.
I don't know why he cased the joint.
No.
Because it didn't help
him.
I
mean, was he looking for the chamber just on his own?
Wait, casing the joint meaning like as Stink Witch?
Yeah,
as Stink Witch.
Did he leave and then come back, or did he just like unveil once he was up?
I mean, he was suspiciously like wandering around under the guise of doing chores, but was just checking out the tower.
So maybe he figured out, or maybe he knows how to pick locks, and that's what he was going to do.
It's a skill related to disguise.
Yeah,
is one that he definitely does have.
He took a couple ranks in rogue.
Yeah.
So he's got the lock picking.
Is there like a stinkiness feat for rogues?
Is there one? I'm sure if you wanted to be stinky, you could.
I feel like that wouldn't help a rogue.
You could.
I feel like that's the opposite of what a rogue wants, is any kind of detection.
I don't know. If you stink bad enough, people might leave the area.
Why would they not?
Maybe like that's your invisibility. It's just there aren't people here anymore.
That seems like a potential problem. So we said, hi, like I am just a poor stink witch. Let me up. And they go, no, you're much too stinky. We don't want to do this.
I didn't notice that he was stinky until they pulled him up.
They could have dropped him down the bucket again.
Carmen.
Like, he gets close enough, like, ooh, no. Bad idea. Down you go, stink witch.
Carmen, I really like the hypothetical rogue who is so bad at doing invisibility that they make themselves stinky and convince themselves that they're invisible when no one else is around. Like, I'm invisible because no one can see me.
Because no one is here to watch.
Technically. Hey.
If you stink up a forest and nobody's around, will a bear still eat you? What did you want to say, Gordy?
Nothing. Keep going.
Okay.
It's fine.
Are we done?
I think that'll do us for this week. We will return with part 2 of The Subtle Princess. Hopefully part last, but we'll see how long Stinkwitch tangents take us. Thank you, Rebecca Kirk.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca.
And thank you, April.
Thank you, April.
For sponsoring this episode.
April.
We didn't go quite as off the rails, but technically April, I guess.
I tried my best.
Yeah.
Next time.
I'll get them.
On Dragon Ball Z.
What?
Thank you to our patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Oh, moving right past that.
Yeah.
I mean, you dropped the ball.
I thought you were going to pick it up.
I volleyed.
Next.
Too late. Thank you to our top tier patrons.
Thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you, top tier patrons.
Who are?
Jen, Jenna, Robert, Heather, Jeremiah, Lily.
You guys rock. And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Speaking of Dragon Ball Z.
Speaking of Dragon Ball Z. We didn't do it last time, right? Or did you
afterwards? We didn't, because we should do it. Yeah.
Gordy and I are doing a new podcast. Carmen's invited. You might learn shortly why she's not on it yet. It's a show about Dragon Ball Z. Gordy and I are going to watch, all of Dragon Ball Z and then talk about it.
Heavy on the filler.
With other friends and colleagues.
Friends and colleagues.
To relive the magic that is Dragon Ball Z. The show is called Destructo Discourse. You can catch it every Wednesday. It is up on iTunes, or you can find it at destructodiscourse.simplecast.fm.
Thank you, Destructo Discourse.
Thanks, Dragon Ball.
Thanks, Akira Toriyama.
Thank you, Son Goku.
Thank you, Son Goku. Thanks, King Kai, for teaching him Spirit Bomb off screen.
Thanks, Roald Dahl.
Thanks, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon. We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives. We can keep going. We're still rolling. Thank you. Say whatever you want.
Thank you, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Too many.
Feeling that one?
Too many.
Too many.
Cut it. Let's wrap it up and move on.
Thank you, Cricket.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
That's how it merps. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.